How's everybody doing this morning? Awesome. You know, it's a pleasure for me to be here along with my family and friends. The Rowdy Bunch up front, that's part of my family. So pay them no attention, or pay them attention, it doesn't matter. My wife, she's currently in the restroom. Her name's Tanisha. My lovely son is here, Benjamin Brave. And we just have this passion in our hearts to see people walk out of their truest identity in Christ. Who they are in Christ and who Christ is in them, wherever they go, having this confidence of their relationship with God so that they don't ever have to doubt where they stand before the Father, where they stand before Jesus. They can always rest assured and being confident that they always have a direct line with the Father, that they always have a good relationship on the good days and their bad days. We've been traveling all over the world. We've been to Brazil, we've been to Spain, we've been to Romania, and that's our message, is to share the good news of Jesus and what he has provided for us, and we're going to get a little bit into that in a moment. But today, I want to share a message, and my title is called God's Secret Weapon. God's secret weapon. And our opening passage is Isaiah 60. Let's turn there, if you have a Bible, to Isaiah 60. They're going to put it on the screen if you do not. Isaiah 60 says this. In verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and the glory appears over you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time we get to spend with each other. I pray for your presence to move in a way that is have not moved before. And I just pray that you just show up and show off in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we turn me down on the inners a little bit, please? So before we get into our message, I want to share a testimony. Does anybody like testimonies? I want to share, she does. Okay, so there is a young lady that we know. Her name is Destiny. And at age 11, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And the doctors had no hope for her living. We met her at the age of 12, and at that time, chemotherapy was basically destroying her body. She lost function in one of her kidneys. It did not work anymore. And her other kidney had less than 30% function. That's when we got a hold of her. We were able to meet her, and we were able to pray with her. How many of you know that doctors do not have the last say? Come on, somebody. We got to pray with Destiny at age 12. The doctor said that she would die before her 13th birthday. She just got finished celebrating her 14th birthday. Come on! It wasn't the doctors, okay? It wasn't the doctors. It wasn't Dr. Seuss. It wasn't Dr. Dre. It wasn't Dr. Oz. It was Dr. Jesus, okay? I just got a text from her family saying that she went to go get checked, and her kidneys are actually, they have actually improved. So not only did the disease stop in its tracks, it stopped progressing, but it also started regressing. And her kidneys are back to functioning. One of her kidneys are back to functioning to 96%. Come on, Jesus. Let me just tell you something. How many of us know that Jesus didn't die for a powerless gospel? He died for you and I, but he also died that you and I would have power here on earth. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in prayer. You see, I think that many times people think that the church is decreasing. They think that God is in trouble. They think that the angels in heaven are growing gray hair, stressing out. That couldn't be farther from the truth. The Bible says that actually God won already. And you and I get to enforce that victory here on earth. Here's an interesting statistic, because many people think that the church is actually decreasing. I don't know what you read on Facebook, or I don't know what certain preachers are preaching, but this is what's happening around the world. According to World Christian Encyclopedia, there are 32,000 people that are becoming new followers of Christ every day in Africa. There are 25,000 that are coming to Christ every day in Asia, and 17,000 every day in Latin America. Does it sound like the kingdom of God is hurting? As I speak, our country's divided. I'm pretty sure you've seen the news. Listen, let me just tell you something. Do not watch the news. Because many people are getting riled up off of what the news is telling them. They're reacting to the world instead of responding to heaven. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I see my Father saying. And there are a lot of believers that are being offended today. They are part of the problem instead of being part of the answer and solution. Listen, the most powerful tool that you have in your tool belt is not a Facebook post. You have been equipped with power from the Holy Spirit. That's why I am here today. Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, it's part of our family over there. I am here today because God delivered me from depression. God delivered me from suicide. You see me in the front. I'm raising my hands like this. It's because I've been set free. I had a problem with lust. I had a problem with depression. Jesus set me free. Listen, your hope, your greatest hope, isn't waiting till you die to get to heaven. What is heaven? Why is heaven so special in the first place? It's special because Jesus is there. And the moment you say, I do, guess where Jesus is? I believe many believers are living in prison, inside of a jail cell, their own jail cell with open doors. We base our theology on our disappointments. We base our theology on our bad experiences instead of the Word of God. Have you experienced disappointment? I know I have. I've prayed for people and nothing happened. I have prayed for certain things and nothing happened. But guess what? That didn't stop me from believing the Word of God. That didn't stop me believing in the goodness of God. Your greatest hope isn't when you get to heaven. It is right now. You see, this is something interesting I want to share, especially about our opening text. All the world around us, there's terrorist attacks. There's people living in perpetual anxiety. There's a lot of things going on. The world needs an awakening. But I think it starts with us. I find it interesting that Paul never prayed for revival when he wrote the churches. I wonder why. Paul didn't pray for revival. He prayed that you may have a revelation. That you may have a revelation, a spirit of revelation and wisdom of who he is. In the book of Ephesians, he writes, because when you know who he is, you know who you are. The most important thing about you is what you think about him. You see, I'm Italian and Mexican. I'm Italian, you could tell by my hand motions. I use a lot. What's the matter? What you? So it's very loud in our house. You know, when me and my wife we started saying, "Oh, everybody, okay, we got some loud people in the house this morning." When my wife and I, she came from a quiet family. I came from a loud family. It's just crazy. It doesn't feel like home unless there's some chaos going on. You know, that's just how. And so my wife is getting used to it. She's turned the TV a little bit louder, but. The interesting thing is I don't have to
try to be Italian. I don't have to try to be Mexican. I just am because I was born that way. The moment you became born again, you became holy. You became righteous. You became supernatural. I don't believe God's in heaven rolling up his sleeve saying to himself, I think I'm going to be supernatural today. He just naturally is supernatural. I just have this simple faith that wherever I go, anything can happen. Because Jesus is with me. And remember, Jesus is the X factor. You and God are always in the majority wherever you go. You are never, I just want to encourage you because the Bible says arise and shine, not complain and hide. There's a lot of people complaining, a lot of people hiding. They believe the first part of the verse, our opening verse, that darkness covers the earth, but they have no clue of what the glory of the Lord looks like on their life. They don't even know if it's even possible. I want to encourage you, it is. Listen, the church is not called to be weak in the last days. The Antichrist is not going to be terrorizing the church. I don't know what you think about the theology left behind. I don't know where you stand. Sometimes I think that theology can kiss my left behind. I'm kidding. I'm probably not going to be invited back for that joke. So if this is the last time I see you, I want to let you, I love you, and we could be Facebook friends. Why? Because there's certain theologies out there that enable you or empower you to be weak, to see current world events and just say, oh, that's how it's supposed to be. I don't know about you, but my Bible says the gates of Hades shall not prevail against the church. That we shall go from glory to glory. It started off powerful in the book of Acts. Guess what? It's going to end powerful. Jesus is not coming back on a rescue mission. Jesus is coming back for a bride. It's time that we learn to terrorize the enemy. You were made for more. I want to encourage you, and you're going to hear that saying a lot because I feel like the Lord sent me today, all the way from Tracy, Stockton, California. Tracy's a city, but Stockton's where I minister, so I can say from there too. I feel like I've been sent today to encourage you, to empower you in the simple gospel, and to help you learn how to just be. You're called to be a human being, not a human doing. So that means wherever you are, the chances of something good happening in that environment just increase because you're there. You're called to shift atmospheres, and I want to encourage you this day, and I'm here to get a little bit deeper in a moment, but I want to share my wife and I, we've been having a blessed time as parents. You know, we love to watch movies, and it seems that Benjamin, he always starts off strong, you know, but he always gets distracted. We've been watching kids' movies like nobody's business. That's like we watch the same movie over and over and over again. We can quote lines, you know, from the movies we watch. I guess that's what happens when you have kids. You just can't watch football no more. You can't watch basketball. You know, Benji gets to watch whatever he wants. So one of our favorite movies currently is Moana. We watched it probably 2,000 times. But I like the plot of the movie. You know, it's funny. We put the movie on, and Benji's watching it, and then he's, like, distracted. And then me and Tanisha are the only ones watching it, and we're like, so good.
start dancing.
But the plot of the movie is the people from Tahiti. They are islanders, and they are afraid to travel out in the deep waters. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, so we got some people that have seen the movie. Well, Moana has this desire to travel out into the deep ocean. She just, ever since she was a girl, she knew she belonged out there. She knew she was called to travel into the deep blue. But the chief always discouraged her from doing so. And it wasn't until they needed to restore the island and the island, the earth, back to, or the heart of, we're just going to get deep, okay? So it wasn't until she had to go where she left beyond her father's approval, you know, and, but before she left, she discovered that her people in the past were voyagers. She discovered this history like, wow. And she discovered these big boats and these big canoes. And she knew at that moment, that's why I feel this way. That's why I have this deep desire to go and travel out. That's why I don't feel comfortable staying put. I think there's a valuable lesson in Moana that I want to share. Listen, you're not made to live in fear. You're not made to live in depression, anxiety. You have this deep desire to be set free. It's because you are called to live free. You are called to take risk. You are called to do the works of God here on earth. You are called for great things right now. So this is something interesting that I want to share. The biggest thing that holds us back today is not the devil, it's not the world. I believe it is two things that hold us back. Number one, I believe, is a wrong perception of God. It's one of the biggest things that hold us back. A.W. Tozer says, what you think about God is the most important thing about you. When you hear the word Father, do you instantly draw a connect or a disconnect? Many of us, we had a bad experience with our earthly father, so maybe it's hard to connect with your heavenly father. Or some of us never had a father, so maybe it's hard to relate. I know that when I went to church, I would sit in the pews, and I would just sit down and I would see Jesus still on the cross, and he looked like, you know, he looked really mad. Like, and where I went to church in the I don't know what you would call it. When I went to mass, you know, if you just everybody just looks at you like shh, and they look at you very upset, you know. And so like I just was very scared of God. Like I didn't know. Is he going to strike me any moment? Is he pleased with me? He looks angry. Jesus actually looks angry on there. I'll tell you what. God is not mad at you. God is not angry with you. Jesus isn't on the cross still. He resurrected. And guess what? God is actually happy. The Bible says there is fullness of joy in the presence of God. He is a loving father. He is a good father. The Bible says that Jesus called him daddy or Abba. That means daddy. You always have a place in the heart of God because he is a good father. I believe that God's not in heaven ready to throw down lightning bolts. God's not in heaven stressed out. No, God is in this perfect peace. Because he is confident in his love towards you. Your mistakes, your downfalls, your insecurities cannot stop the love of God. Aren't you happy about that? Amen. Aren't you happy that God's not moved by our decisions, but he is moved by his son's decision to love? Because his son, I don't know about you, but they are one. So Jesus wasn't the only one up at that cross. It was the Father there too. Jesus loves you so much, the Father loves you so much, that guess what? Even before you said yes to him, He already paid for everything that you would ever need right up front. The greatest package deal ever. I'm sorry, Comcast, okay? I'm sorry, AT&T. Jesus has the best package deal, okay? Number two, the second thing that holds us back from stepping out into our calling, from walking free from fear and condemnation and walking in all that God has called us to do is, number two, a poor self-image. You know, many of us see ourselves negatively because we know what is wrong with us. We're with us 24/7, okay? Let me just say something. The Holy Spirit's with you 24/7, and he likes his job. The Holy Spirit not only loves you, but he likes you. But many times, we don't feel worthy for God's love because we don't even like ourselves. We are constantly reminded about our past. We're constantly reminded of what's wrong with us. Many of us disqualify ourselves. But something is encouraging about the Father. And I want to share with you. Colossians 1:12. You don't have to turn there. It says this. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Listen, God has qualified you personally to share in all that he has for you. He chose you knowing everything about you. And he chose you to be his son. And the interesting thing about that, or the powerful thing about that, is this, is that if we view ourselves outside, I'll put it this way. When we disqualify ourselves from the things of God, we dishonor the blood of Jesus. When we view ourselves in a negative light, we dishonor the blood of Jesus. I think it's time that we have a healthy perspective on God and ourselves. How many of us are with that? How many of us are ready for that? Because the Christian life isn't supposed to be hard. It isn't supposed to be difficult. It's the biggest lie. It's supposed to be liberating. It's supposed to be easy. I had this vision once Sunday morning of two sets of believers. And one believer was swimming up this current. And he was trying so hard to swim up this current. And he was having a difficult time. And every time he let his hands down, he would just float back. And then he was swimming up again. And then he would just float back. And then the father spoke to me. He said, "This is what most sons and daughters look like. And I've never called them to do this." And he showed me another picture of another son and another daughter where they weren't swimming up the stream, they were the stream. The Bible says this, that when you believe, there are rivers of living water that shall flow through you. It's not meant to be hard. That's why I'm here today. That's why my family is here today, because we found a joy in believing not only the finished work of Jesus, but his ascended work, his enthroned work. Listen, we are not called to be beaten up in our families. We're called to leave a legacy for our children's children. So our children don't have to fight the battles we've had to fight emotionally, mentally, so that we can raise our children up in homes that are healthy. And we can leave legacies, and not only for our family, but for our society. So when people see you, they're like, "Man, what is so different about you?" And then you could tell them, "I've got this new shampoo I've been having. It's pretty great. It's conditioner as well, all in one." No, so you could tell them, "It's Jesus. There's this joy in my life because of Jesus. He has qualified you for a great work." I want you to say this out loud together. God has qualified me. Ooh, that's good. Okay, no, you don't. Okay, stop talking after me, please. I got to finish this message. Genesis 2:15 says this, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it." I find that interesting. Why would God need Adam to tend and keep the garden? That word tend means to work. It means to cultivate. I always had this picture of the floating babies, you know, in the in the Garden of Eden, so peaceful, so, you know, calm, nothing wrong with it, being completely perfect. But when I read scripture, I find out that God said, hey, listen, Adam, you are called to tend to this garden. You're called to cultivate to this garden. You're called to work in this garden to make it better, God was essentially saying. Adam was placed in the garden to make it better. When you realize that God places you in certain circumstances, you understand that he has called you to make them better. You are called to bring value everywhere you go. You're called to bring value at your workplace. That means to work hard. That means not to complain. That means not to be in the restroom past 20 minutes on Facebook, stealing hours. No, he has called you to bring value wherever you go. In your families, you are called to make better because he's placed something in you that is unlike what anybody else has. The reason why you have dreams inside your heart, the reason why you have desires in your heart, it's because the Father placed them there. The word desire in Spanish actually means desarro. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't mean that. A desire actually means from the Father in Spanish. I don't know how you say desire in Spanish, Oscar. Gracias. I'm Mexican. My mom never taught me Spanish. What's wrong with her? Bless her heart. Right? So anyways, back to what I was saying, which I forgot. You have dreams inside your heart because they were placed there from the Father. The reason why Abraham had such a desire to have a son, that was Abraham's dream, was to have a son. You know why his desire was so burning within his heart? It was because God placed that desire in Abraham. Because guess what? God needed a nation. You may have a desire in your heart to start a business. Well, guess what? God placed it there. You're called to transform society. You may have a desire to become healthy, whole. Guess what? God's placed it there. You may have a desire to start a makeup channel. Well, come on, somebody. It's time to start. So you could be a light. You are called to be a light wherever you go. And nothing's insignificant in the kingdom of God. Everything has purpose and value on it. So what has God placed in your heart to do? Because you're called to release it. Because God doesn't want only preachers. God not only needs preachers filled with the Holy Spirit, but guess what? God needs doctors filled with the Holy Spirit. God needs businessmen filled with the Holy Spirit. God needs house moms, come on somebody, filled with the Holy Spirit. Construction workers filled with the Holy Spirit. Is anybody catching my drift? There is nothing insignificant in the kingdom of God. All of it is on to the Lord. God needs rappers filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on somebody, I just heard the radio the other day. I was like, this is what they're listening to? You know, I think subconsciously, most of us think we have nothing to offer. That couldn't be farther from the truth. The Bible says nations will come to the brightness of your dawn. The Bible says that your gift will make room for you and put you in the presence of kings. You are called to be a city on the hill and a light for the world. And that's the special thing about Jesus. And that's why I love Jesus so much. Because he has took me through some things. He's brought me through some things. Because he loved. He's just a good father. Listen, he doesn't put sickness on people to teach them a lesson. I'm sorry, but I don't read that in the Gospels. I don't read that Jesus is training his disciples how to be good Christians. And then he puts a sickness on them to teach them a lesson. Huh? I'm sorry. That's not the Father of the Word of God. God doesn't make you lose your job to teach you a lesson. That was because you was messing up coming late to work, okay? Don't try to blame God for that. You know, I believe that Jesus, he's looking for friends. He's looking for sons and daughters. The Bible isn't just supposed to be a devotion book. It's supposed to be an invitation. So that when you read these documentaries of people that have walked with God, you know it's available for you. You know it's available for your sons and daughters. I was messed up when I was 21 years old. And not because I was a believer, okay? At 21 years old, I got saved at 18. I was expelled twice from high school. I was invited to a church. I sat in the back because that's what you do when you feel uncomfortable. Not to say the people in the back are uncomfortable, okay? But this preacher started preaching. I came to the front. I gave my life to Jesus. And boy, I was set on fire. From that moment forward, I left those things behind. There are certain things you got to leave behind. There are certain people you have to leave behind in order to grab hold of what God wants you to grab hold of. They're just extra weight. They're going to bring you down. They're going to bring you back. You don't need them in your life. You need some new friends. You need somebody like Oscar in your life. Oscar De La Soul, hashtag, that's his Instagram. Shameless plug right there. You need people that will fire you up. Well, at 21, I was reading the Word of God, and something jumped out at me. I was reading John chapter 12, verse 14. I hope I got that scripture right. I don't know. Read your Bible. So I was reading, and Jesus said this. He said, "The works I do, you shall do, and greater works than these." I was currently at a Bible college, and the interesting thing is I was learning, number one, everything about the Bible, which was good, okay? But this scripture began to haunt me because Jesus says, I'm called to do greater works than him. I was like, whoa, is this borderline blasphemy? But I started to think the heart of a father. You know, my dad wants me to do greater works than him. He wants me to do better than him. He wants me to have more than him. That's why he works so hard. And I realized that Jesus has the heart of the Father and wants you to go further, farther in the works that he has done, to continue the work that he has done. And something happened that day. I knew that I was called to live the way that he did, casting out demons, healing the sick. There is an invitation for you and I in the deeper things of God. I can't go there right now because I got to finish my message. Maybe you could tell Pastor John to invite me back, okay? We'll go there next month, later on down the year. But I was absolutely changed from that moment forward because I realized that there is so much more for me than just Sunday morning. There is so much more for you than just Sunday morning. I want to share things, I want to share three things to help you become effective here on earth. Number one, practice being aware of the presence of God. The Bible says you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, not a timeshare. You don't have to pray for the presence of God. You have to practice the presence of God. Jesus tore the veil. Do him a favor and do not sew it back up. He tore the veil so that there would be no separation between you and him. So that when you say, I believe, guess what? He comes and he inhabits your heart. And he starts to work inside out. And listen, Jesus not only takes you out of darkness, but he takes the darkness out of you. It gets better. Jesus not only takes you out of the darkness, but he takes the darkness out of you, and guess what? He exchanges it with the light. He didn't call you to be a reflection of the light. She is amening me out right here. She is like, keep preaching, keep preaching. I might have to take her wherever I go. She is hyping me up. She's helping me preach. He doesn't call you a reflection of the light. He calls you the light. He says, you are the light of the world. There is the presence of God that is in your life. But listen, sometimes we're not aware of it because we're aware of everything else. We're distracted on this. We're distracted on that. And we just are so far from God. But listen, I take 5-minute vacations almost every day. And you know what that looks like? That just stops. I just stop in my tracks. I take a deep breath. I push all the distractions out of the way, and I just become fascinated with Jesus. And I just say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Boom, I'm there. I'm there right now. And that's how easy it is to become aware of the presence of God. And guess what? We've been practicing this on our job. I started a business 2 years ago, and I've went to from full-time ministry the first 10 years. Remember, God spoke to me, John 12:14. Well, he spoke to me another scripture, and it was, a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So some doors closed, and I had to find and seek the heart of God, what he was specifically calling me to do. And he placed on my heart to start a business. So I started a video marketing company. And I took it, my core value was this. It was simple. It was being aware of God in everything I do. And guess what? The first year was amazing. But the second year, we are going to double what we made the first year. And it's all because, yeah, amen. Come on, Jesus. Some of you are like, I wish he did that for me. I want to clap. Come on, rejoice with those who rejoice. If you would start getting excited for somebody else's breakthrough, you're going to have a breakthrough yourself. It's not in your DNA to be jealous. It's not in your DNA to be disappointed. It's not in your DNA to be resentful and hold grudges. It's not in your DNA to be offended. You can be if you want to, but it's not a good way to live. You're called to live free. Well, we've been practicing being aware of the presence of God in everything that we do, even on job sites. And we have been extremely blessed. There are things don't happen well, like they were planning, and one of this job site, things weren't working well, and we had this shoot, we had the cameras there and everything, and it would have cost money to relocate and reshoot, but guess what? I prayed. I said, you know what, Lord, I don't want to reshoot. I don't want to come back to this place. Lord, give me the wisdom I need to fix this instrument that they are trying to do. And it was this TV, it was this big, huge screen, and this thing that was hooked up to this TV to help certain individuals with Alzheimer's. Well, I had some time pass, about 10 minutes, and they tried everything. They looked on Google, they looked on YouTube, couldn't find anything to help fix this problem with this new gadget they were trying to fix for this presentation. And I just prayed. And all of a sudden, I had this faint image in my mind, this thought that was so soft, passed my mind. And I realized, it's the Lord. And so I told the guy, I said, hey, is it okay if I take a crack at it? And he was like, sure. And like, he's like, but because I was the guy that, you know, I was like the 10th guy that was going to take a crack at it, right? So I went in the back, and sure enough, it was just as the Lord gave me the vision, how it looked in the back, right? And I had this vision of rearranging certain plugs. And so I did just that, And all of a sudden, the whole machine turned on. And everybody was like, how did you do that? And I took all the credit. I don't know. I just, I went to college for this stuff, you know. No, I didn't do that. I didn't want to get too religious on them, you know. It was Jesus, brother, okay. I didn't want to get too religious on them, you know. So I was just like, you know what? It was just a lucky guess. And they was like, man, awesome. Thank you so much, right? Called to bring value, right, wherever we go. And so I went to the back, and I was just like, man, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You're so smart. Thank you so much. That's what we are called to do, is be aware of the presence of God everywhere we are. And guess what? Things will be easier. Things will be less stressful, okay? Number two, get around powerful people. You have to get around people that are in the same mind, the same heart. You have to get around people that are on fire, okay, that don't want to compromise, that is going to help you. You're going to have to get around people that pray. You're going to have to get around people that are successful. If you want to be successful, get around people that are successful, and it'll rub off. It's time that we learn to lean on one another, rely on one another. You're not called to live isolated. You're not called to retreat and be alone. You're called for community. That's why I love this church, Bethel. Right when I came in, man, I can sense, because we've been to a lot of churches. Man, we have some, we've been to cold churches before. You know, they just, oh, good to meet you, brother. You know, and they just cold, you could tell. But when we came, man, there's such a community here. And I think that's what we're called to have. We're called to be part of a community that believes. Where not only we receive, but we contribute. Because you have something to contribute. I believe that in order to be powerful or effective here on earth today, you have to get around people that are powerful. Number three, let go and let God. I think we have to let go of our disappointments. I think we have to let go of our grudges, things that have happened in the past. Listen, unforgiveness doesn't hurt the other person. It weighs you down. And when you forgive somebody, forgiveness is not the same as trust. You don't have to trust somebody again. You don't have to. If somebody stole my money out of my wallet, if Oscar stole $10 from my wallet, he would never do that. But if he needed $10, I'll just give you $10, bro. All right? I can forgive him, but I won't trust him with my wallet again. You see, some people may have violated your trust. You don't have to trust them again. But you, in order to be healthy here, you're going to have to forgive them. And when that thought comes back again, like, man, you hurt me. You violated me. Guess what? You're going to have to remind yourself, nope, I forgave them. And I am more powerful because of it. It's time that we cast our cares onto the Lord. It's time that we cast our disappointments and our hurts onto the Lord, because he cares for you and I. And when we let go of what has been holding us down, holding us back for so long, guess what? We could grab hold of his peace. We can grab hold of his joy. We can grab hold of his wisdom and ideas. You have the access to the mind of Christ. You have the access to the heart of God. And you will never access it if you continue to contemplate on all the bad things that have happened in your life. He did not commission you to be a victim. He saved you so that you can be a son and a daughter. And that you can freely receive. I'm going to invite up the worship team. Because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that you are launched and commissioned to partner with God. That you enter into a deeper intimacy with the Father. that your vision of who you are and who God is upgraded. Every now and then you need to upgrade your phone. In the same way, you need an upgrade in your spiritual life. I want to pray that a hunger takes place in your heart today so that we can be hungry for the more of God, so that we will not settle for mediocrity, so that we will not settle for a half-hearted Christianity, but we settle for what he has purchased for us at the cross. So let's place your hand on your heart. I just want to pray for you. Just say, Father, I receive all that you have for me and more. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I just pray that everyone who hears the sound of my voice, God, I pray that there would be a drawing into the deeper waters of God. I pray, Lord, Father God, from this moment forward, Lord, that there, just like how I encountered your presence at 21 and I was never the same, God, I pray that there would be a shift that takes place in the mind right now, that there would be a shift that takes place in the heart right now. I pray, Lord, Father God, that where there has been chains, they would be broken off right now, that where there has been disappointments and even generational patterns passed down from family line to family line, God, I pray that it breaks off right now. And I just release a freedom right now in Jesus' name. I declare a freedom, a newfound freedom right now in Jesus' name to be all that they are called to be. Amen. So I believe that we're going to sing one more worship song and just take this moment to connect with God. If you're not in a place right now where you should be, you know, in here, I want you to get to that place in your heart. And if you have had certain things that struck a chord with you, maybe it's been a poor self-image. Maybe you've had a poor self-image of God. I think it's time now that we lay aside all those preconceived ideas and thoughts, and it's time to grab hold of who he wants to reveal he is to our hearts.